All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you standing in the confessional corner as we open up the small catechism, this week looking at an introduction to the Ten Commandments. If you look at page 316 in Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, you see that it starts off with a woodcut for the Ten Commandments as a whole, which is Exodus 19, Moses giving the God giving the commandments to Moses. So we're going to look at that as we briefly do a Bible study on each of these throughout the next few weeks. All right, so let's look, as we introduce the Ten Commandments, let's just go through them real quick. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. All right, so as we go through these Ten Commandments, we have with us the giving of the law, as the woodcut there in the catechism shows us, God giving the tablets to Moses to then reveal to the people, even the picture of the burning bush in the corner. And it references Exodus chapter 19. And we think, okay, wait a minute, the Ten Commandments are given in Exodus chapter 20. But we set up everything in Exodus 20 with what happens in Exodus 19. So let's read that real quick. On the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and also may believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live.' When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. So all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go down and come up bringing Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." All right, there is Exodus chapter 19, the setup for when God does actually speak to the people in the Ten Commandments. So here we have the historical background, starting off the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. So this would be not quite 3 months since they left. The new moon being the beginning of the month in the lunar calendar that the Hebrews used, that they would have this understanding that this would be the first day of the month. This is when they get to the wilderness of Sinai. And so they encamp before the mountain as Moses is going back and forth as the mediator between God and man. This is the image that we look at anytime, especially in the book of Hebrews, as we talk about Jesus being the mediator between God and man. He is, in that sense, a second Moses. He is the one who has come to bring our words to God and God's words to us. And you see this going back and forth and back and forth. And now as we get to what God first tells the Israelites, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These words in different chunks are repeated throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. That, as we go through Deuteronomy, you will see that again and again. How I bore you on eagle's wings is repeated in Psalm 91. If you will obey my voice, you will be my treasured possession. That's Deuteronomy chapter 7. As he reminds them that they were not the most powerful people when God chose them. In fact, they were the fewest and the weakest when God chose them. And he also reminds them, unlike the Egyptians who had their own set of gods that governed over them, unlike the Canaanites that they were going to expel from the promised land, had their individual tribal gods, all the people, all the earth is his. He is the one who created it. Everything belongs to him. What he chooses to be a treasured possession, not for anything that they would do, not for anything that they would be, but simply because for Jesus to come in the form of man, he has to have a lineage. So this is the people that is going to bring about the Savior. And because of that, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Peter picks this up in 1 Peter chapter 2 as he talks about that to the church. And this is one of those pictures of the people of Israel that gets overlooked sometimes. Is you've got kind of this same idea that we have of the distinction between the clergy, the priesthood, and the lay people. But ultimately, all the people were to be priests in that kingdom. They are all to be, as we call it in the New Testament, the priesthood of all believers. That this is what we are called to be. We are called to be intercessors one for another, which is what the main job of the priest and the pastor is to intercede between people or between people and God. So this is what God says to Moses to tell the people. And of course, the people are all ready for this. And all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And God comes down in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when he speaks with Moses, and they will believe Moses forever because of the sight that they have seen. And the sounds, as we hear throughout the rest of the chapter, the thunders, the brilliance of the brilliance of the dark cloud, which God does because he can. We see this in Mount Sinai. We see this again at the Transfiguration. When God the Father comes down in a dark cloud again. And so everything's going to be signaled with a trumpet blast, which comes to us again in 1 Thessalonians 4, as we talk about the coming back and the return of Jesus as having the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel. All of these things are going to happen. This is God coming to earth. The closest thing we have to it in the Christmas story is the angels appearing to the shepherds. Not a trumpet sound, but the angels are there involved with that. So he says, when the trumpet blast is heard, come to the mountain. So 3 days later, the trumpet blast happens. Everybody trembles, but Moses leads them out. Shakily as it was, but we have the very words of God coming to them in chapter 20, which is the Ten Commandments that we read earlier. And as we'll talk about it in digging deeper as we get to it in Deuteronomy 5, there's the distinction made between these words, these 10 words of the commandments are what God speaks to all the people. Everything else that is written in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and reviewed again in Deuteronomy, is all mediated through Moses on the 40 days that he's up at the top of the mountain. So these words are the important ones. These words are the ones that will stand the test of time, will always be in effect. So he reminds them, don't come near the mountain, don't touch it. Reminiscent of Genesis chapter 3 and Eve telling the serpent that God said, we may not eat of this tree, nor can we touch it. Here God is specifically saying, you cannot come up, you cannot even touch the mountain, or the Lord will come out against you. And so he sends Moses back to bring Aaron back up as the representative, the high priest of the people, as he will be ordained that in Leviticus 8. So this is bringing us up to the point of God speaking the Ten Commandments in the hearing of all the people gathered at the bottom of Mount Sinai. So I thought this would be a great and wonderful introduction to the small catechism section on the Ten Commandments, as we, again, take these, not just looking at the text, but taking the woodcuts that Luther had in his original versions of the small catechism to point out the stories from the scriptures that he thought best exemplified each part of the catechism. So I hope that you find them just as welcoming and a wonderful distinction and reference for each of the parts of the catechism having its own distinct story, so that we may see not only what it means, but sometimes how it is applied and how it is manifested among the people of God. All right, that is it for this introduction to the Ten Commandments. Next week, we will start with the first commandment and go through the stories of the woodcuts. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for standing in the confessional corner with me, looking at the Ten Commandments so that we may be strengthened by these words spoken by God to the people, to help them wrestle with the theology around them back then and also today. Amen.